call the committee back from its recess. Curtis, we have some language that you have for us. Is that correct?
Yeah, I do. I have the revised amendment for LD 2071, which is an act to amend Maine scallop laws. Based on the last work session, I went back with the old amendment and changed it up a bit to reflect what you had done at the last meeting.
All right. And remember we had a white sheet that I had presented, and we had I believe it was goldenrod at the time or something, and we were, final vote was to kind of mesh those together, and is that what the blue sheet is doing?
Yes.
An enforcement problem, if somebody has gone out and fished presumably beyond the 3-mile limit and caught their quota for the day, 200 pounds, and are bringing them back in and are stopped by a Marine Patrol, would they, I guess I wish that the colonel was here, but if I'm trying to put together a scenario where a boat went out, fished in the has a federal permit, went out and fished in the federal waters, caught their 200 pounds, were coming back in to port without setting their gear, would there be any reason for Marine Patrol to stop them and overhaul them? Deputy Commissioner Ettinger.
Senator Damon, members of the committee, good afternoon. Yes, I mean, Marine Patrol, if it's a Maine licensed or even not a Maine licensed commercial fishing vessel and now is transiting Maine waters in particular, they could have any number of reasons for wanting to check out the gear configurations or the quantity on board or the size of the scallops they may have on board or licenses,
all right,
sorts of things.
All right, so they could be stopped just because they're in those waters.
Sure.
And in the stop, they would recognize that there was 200 pounds of scallops on board. All right, this is a scenario that I'm trying to put together. They had no evidence, the enforcement people would have no evidence that that boat had stopped in Maine waters and was actually fishing. They were transiting Maine waters, there's no question. Is there any adverse effect that that boat might have just from fishing offshore and having a day's catch and bringing it into land?
Senator Damon, no, they are allowed to do that, even a non-resident vessel. There's a mechanism for them to offload their catch of scallops in Maine ports, if I see what you mean.
Yeah, I'm just trying. I wouldn't want them to be in jeopardy or at risk of some kind of a violation if they didn't commit one. The scenario that I'm trying to put together is that they left the Maine port in the morning. They went beyond the 3-mile limits. They fished out in the federal waters. They have a permit to fish in the federal waters. They caught their quota, 200 pounds. And presuming that we have a 135-pound daily catch limit in Maine waters, so now they're coming back at the end of their day, coming through Maine waters, and are stopped by Marine Patrol just for a routine boarding, whatever. Recognize that they have 200 pounds of shucked scallops on board. Just because they're in Maine waters with those 200 pounds of scallops doesn't mean that they would be subject to any kind of a violation.
Well, if Maine goes, at the moment the only limit in Maine is in Cobscook of 135 pounds, and actually it's a 15-gallon meat count, a daily limit in the Cobscook. But if you hold any federal permit as a Maine fisherman, you are also bound by that. If you're fishing outside of Cobscook, no matter where you fish, even in state waters, you're bound by that federal limit. If you hold any federal permits for scallop fishing, you are bound by that 200-pound limit, if I see what you mean. So they're bound by that no matter what, if you have a federal permit, and a lot of them do. The 135 gallons, 135 pounds, we had an issue right from the get-go with poundage because we don't have a way to measure pounds on vessels. So we converted that for the purposes of Cobscook's
to a volume measure?
To a volume measure, 15 gallons years ago. That's what's in our regulation. We also
that's
have
fine.
Regulation that allows vessels to transit and whatnot, and to accommodate the fact that that's the only measure in the state. There's transiting language in our regulations that facilitates that. But if that answers your question, I'm
not sure. I don't think it does. I'm going to try it again. I'm going to try it one more time because I'm just one second. I'll recognize Representative Masrick. I want to go at it a different way, because I heard you say that a holder of a federal license is bound by the restrictions on that federal license, and that would mean they couldn't possess, they couldn't catch more, and I presume
right.
possess more than 200 pounds.
Correct.
But if you're a federally permitted scalloper, and you're not fishing in Cobbs Cook Bay, you're fishing in other Maine waters, you can only catch to 200 pounds.
That's correct.
Now, if this law went into effect and we had a statewide 135-pound or 15-gallon daily catch limit,
right.
and you're that same federally permitted vessel, are you saying that they could catch 200 pounds in Maine waters if our daily catch limit was only 135?
Oh, no, Senator.
Okay.
If the state passed,
it would be the most restrictive.
Sure, absolutely. And vessels can transit. I think Deirdre was trying to explain to me what you were trying to ask.
Trying to get to you.
Which was that they can, as long as their gear is stowed and not in a fishing capacity, they can transit waters with their catches. And that's
yes,
what you were asking
that's
before.
What I was
okay.
asking before.
Yeah,
all
right.
Representative Masrick, you're also... That's how you're going to go.
But I do have a question.
If you would, please. Representative Masrick.
last night, Dave, at the Zone D meeting, mm-hmm. there was some concern about the dates when you have a scalloping license, and there was some confusion. 2005. So you have to have a license 2005, because some of these guys hadn't fished scallops like in 10, 15 years. They were wondering, would that eliminate them from buying a new license? And I said it probably would, because
yeah.
they don't have a yeah. one that says 2005 to 2008.
Yeah,
is that correct?
2005, 2006, or 2007. You haven't got a license.
You got to have
years.
A license. Those 3 years.
One of those years.
Okay.
You're out of luck.
Up until March.
Up until March.
Yeah. Okay. That's all I wanted to know. Thank you.
Yeah.
And that's, of course, the objection by many to any kind of a limited entry system.
Well, but
also what we have to realize on the committee is that the original language that came before us was a much smaller window. We opened that window a bit more, but we didn't propose it in the original language, nor is it proposed in this language that it be just a free for all.
Right, and as they said, some of them were observant enough to know that even if they were able to get a license, there's nothing to catch.
That's right.
So,
we're trying to
answer your own question.
We're trying to make it so that there will be something
right,
to catch.
Right, that's exactly it.
A couple here. Just a minute. I want to go back to one more, and then I'll recognize the two representatives to my left. I think I heard Curtis say that the department is concerned with a statewide daily catch limit because there is a fear that that might just move everybody into the Cobbs Cook Bay area. Is that?
Yes, Senator Damon. We heard some discussion about last week. We weren't aware that it was in here, and obviously it is. And I guess our concern at say 135 pounds or 15 gallons, excuse me, as you have it worded here. A couple concerns about that. One is the lack of involvement of the Scallop Advisory Council, but we told them the other day what we thought transpired, and that wasn't one of the things. But we can straighten that out. But the other thing is that, and this goes back to the Cobbs Cook laws that went into effect 4 or 5 years ago now, and frankly, to some degree, that 135-pound, that slash 15-gallon daily limit there in scallops in Cobbs Cook was meant to serve a conservation purpose, certainly, but also, frankly, a disincentive for other folks to come in and harvest there unless they're prepared to live by those requirements and those limits, which don't exist, of course, anyplace else in the state. And I think, we fear that those folks would be stuck, if you will, with 135 pounds or 15 gallons, no matter where they went in the state, so they might just as well go to Cobbs Cook and hit there because they know it's better rather than stay someplace else where they might perhaps get a little bit more. And we feel that the folks in Cobbs Cook would be upset that they might see an increase in the fishermen in their area because of now their limit is no less than anybody else's in the state. One thing we suggest, if you want to go to in this round of discussion with scallop regulations, if you do want to go to a statewide daily catch limit, concentrating their efforts in Cobbs Cook and perhaps alleviate their concerns. Again, they haven't been involved in this discussion unless they're listening in, but we haven't heard from them. But we think it might come back to backfire if they found out that they now didn't have a lower meat limit than anyplace else in the state.
Good. First of all, I need to make a couple comments. One, relative to the Scallop Advisory Council, we had agreed to have as many of these, of this menu, of how we might, things that we might institute to protect the and preserve what little bit there is left of the resource and promote its enhancement. We wanted to leave as many of those options available to the council and to the department as we possibly could to be put together in another bill, which would come back before this committee in the 124th, we would hope, or to be implemented by rule by the department, as many of those as we could to provide just that flexibility. We were advised that there were some things that we couldn't leave to rule that had to be, because they were currently in statute, they had to be addressed again in statute, and I think this daily catch limit we were advised was one of them. So that's why we went there. The other part that I might talk about with regards to the 135 pounds or the same daily catch limit that is in current statute for Cobbs Cook Bay, it has been described to the committee that the current status of the scallop population and the scallop condition of the population is most healthy in Cobbs Cook Bay, and that the rest of the coast seems to have been severely depleted, and that's why people aren't scalloping, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so if we were to have a greater daily catch limit to prevent people from, discourage people from going into Cobbs Cook Bay, it's hard for me to justify it in my mind if what we're trying to do is to bring back the scallop population along the rest of the coast, that we would have a greater daily catch limit along the rest of the coast than we do in Cobbs Cook. That's my only, I'm not speaking for the committee, that's my thought on that, and that's why I put it to that same regard. And if, likewise, if we went to a lesser daily catch limit along the rest of the coast, of course that would push people to Cobbs Cook, because that's where they could catch more per day. So that's the kind of balance that you have to consider when you put together, try to fashion some kind of a daily catch limit. And just as the Deputy Commissioner has mentioned, Curtis.
Just for clarification purposes, it's really the non-commercial scallop fishers that have a limit in statute. The commercial ones do not have a limit right now in statute. So,
well, now that makes a bit of a difference.
Yeah,
Curtis,
well, because okay. You kind of went from that in your discussion, and if the non-commercial folks are going to have it, then maybe the commercial folks should have one too. And that's important.
Personally, I am willing to have as many of the options available to the Scallop Advisory Council and to the department through rule as we can possibly allow. It was my understanding that we couldn't allow this because it was in statute. If I am wrong on that, if I'm mistaken on that, I would say to the committee that we might consider having this kind of a daily catch limit be one of the options that would be comes to us in a recommendation from the council or from the department. Now, from the daily catch limit of a recreational harvester, that is the 1 gallon?
Yeah, 2 bushels or two. Well, now it's going to be 1 bushel and 2 quarts.
Presently, though, without this.
I'm sorry, my help on that?
Well, current 1 gallon. Yes, current law is 1 gallon.
Yes, one gallon of meat.
That's right. That's right.
All right. I don't know. I've never used the bushel measurement. I've always used the meat, the cut meat measurement, in any kind of time that I've ever scalloped. And it was either in a volume, a quart, a gallon, right, or it was in a pound. We change these things in herring fisheries as well, because when I was fishing for herring, it was in hogshead, and now it's in tons. One is a volume measurement, one is a weight measurement. So
you're dating yourself.
Yeah, well, yeah, we had cotton twine too, so there you go. And iron men. And so I'm not too hung up on what we use as a measurement tool, but we do have to have some kind of a, if we go to this, we ought to have a measurement tool. But the recreational thing is in statute.
That's correct.
And I want to be clear that the recommendation that I had and the one that I would like the committee to support was that we reduce that by half. And so presently it's 4 quarts or 1 gallon. And I'm proposing that it be 4 pints or 1 half gallon.
Right. That's
for
that's
those
what
of you who now to do volume measurements.
That's what it is in the amendment now.
All right. All right. Good. Now, thank you for indulging me, Representative McDonough, and then Representative Person.
Thank you. That works for me, Senator. I wanted to ask David if, not being the skeptic that I usually am on certain things, but I'm wondering if we have somebody has a federal license. They come into Cobscook Bay, they drag there, they get 200 pounds, thereabouts, they go out into federal waters. How many days can they fish and stay out in federal waters? And is the 200-pound limit per day, say they were out 5 days, would they have 1,000 pounds? Would they be allowed to bring 1,000 pounds ashore?
No, that they have a trip limit.
Is it a trip limit or a day?
I think it's 200 pounds a day.
Maybe it is 200 pounds a day. But if once they've gone into Cobscook Bay and harvested, they are limited to the 135 pounds.
Well, I know these guys would never do anything like this, but why couldn't they go into Cobscook Bay, drag, and go out into the federal waters, say we dragged out there, and that's where we caught the catch, which is higher than what our rules would allow
right.
within Cobscook Bay.
Right.
And not that any dragger would do that, but...
I feel more comfortable having the colonel answer that question as to how that would or wouldn't work. I just don't know off the top of my head.
Thank you.
Sure.
Might they be susceptible if they did make those tows that the representative is talking about? I think they have to. Did we? They have to shell immediately. They have to cut immediately. They can't have. They can't have piles of scallops on board and transfer them out. You know, to go out past the
3 mile limit, not very far offshore.
No, I know, but they would. I think they'd run the risk of having enforcement, and then they would be in violation because they were transporting shell stock. But Representative Person.
Thank you, Senator Damon. I wanted to. If are we done with meat, or can I shift to the license piece that Representative Masaryk referred to? Representative Masaryk, don't forget that even though we have expanded that window of the limited entry in both the original bill and in this blue sheet, if you look on page 4, the original bill asked that the Commissioner of Marine Resources, or stated that he is required to establish a limited entry system for people who did not possess a scallop license in the prior time. And we have continued that in the blue sheet with the very first one, number 1, entry restrictions that Senator Damon in his white sheet asked that the council and the department look at how to create a limited entry program. So part of the reason some of us were comfortable with this was that it just hasn't shut it off completely, that the Scallop Advisory Council and the commissioner are going to work on designing a limited entry system. And so I just wanted to try and give that information.
That's under Section 8, number 1?
Yes.
Okay. Other comments or questions? Representative Richards, could I have you defer just for a second? Did you have another comment? Representative Christie and then Representative Richards.
I did want to go back to meet for one section, Deputy Commissioner Etnier, because if the feds know that we're trying, that our resources crashing and that we're trying to do that, I thought it was 200 pounds per trip. I didn't realize it was a daily catch. And is there any way to have a conversation with the feds about that amount being a daily catch in terms of if we're doing all of this, they're still out there bringing in 200 pounds a day at the federal level if they find them. And so,
well, Representative Percy, I mean, we do have ongoing conversations with the feds in terms of federal scallop management, and Terry actually is the one who engages them. They did just go down from 400 pounds to 200 pounds, so it has been cut in half. but it, that is a bigger discussion of, and there's a general purpose, general category licenses. There's a whole lot of things going on there, and perhaps Terry can come in here and talk to you about it sometime, but that's, it is an active discussion, but...
It is what it is.
It, I mean, what, and some of the offshore stocks of scallops have been doing quite well in places, and the vessels out of New Bedford and Gloucester, Point Judith, that neck of the woods have done very well in the offshore scallop fishery in the last few years. That fishery was essentially closed for a period of time and has rebounded. So, but up in this neck of the woods, it hasn't had the same, inshore it has not had the same luck, but we haven't had any, virtually any restrictions in the last few years either. So that's why we need to look hard at perhaps mirroring what they did on the federal level, which is closed areas, spawning area closures, rotating closures,
yeah.
More of an area management regime that's been used on the federal level and appears to have worked there to some degree.
Thank you.
And that is one of that whole suite of options that we have given back to the Scallop Advisory Council and to the department to see if they can incorporate.
Sure.
So are you saying that there was a closure in the federal scallop fisheries a while ago?
Well, in years past, they closed broad areas to any scallop.
Did they?
Correct.
And they have seen a rebound?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's been a very successful fishery there.
Well, then that's optimism. That's hope. Representative Richardson, thank you for your patience.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The question I have is, would the change of equipment that we have in this law differentiate federal from state?
Ah, good question. I believe it would. It wouldn't?
Well, if I understand the question, if on the federal level you can tow large drags in offshore waters, certainly what you're contemplating here in terms of limiting state waters to 5.5 feet as opposed to the 10.5 feet it was primarily before, that would be a major difference because they can tow larger gear offshore. But generally we have tried, and we do it all in our regulation, we've tried to mirror what the federal drag configuration is for scallop drags in state regs so there isn't confusion, and we go by what they have in federal in terms of the minutiae of drag configuration. We try to mirror it here. The major thing you have in statute here, which would mirror what the feds have now, is 4 inches. That would be the same across the board. Certainly the drag size would be different, though.
How about the mesh size? Bag mesh size, because it's proposed here no smaller than 6 inches.
That's
one of the things I look at, and I stand corrected.
Yeah.
But you see, one of the things that we're doing, as the Deputy Commissioner has just noted, historically we've been trying to keep up with the federal gear requirements so that we don't have those differentiations. It was not my thought when I started proposing and when we started talking about gear restrictions and gear configuration differences that we maintain that same kind of federal linkage, because I was looking at, personally, trying to get lighter drags on the bottom, smaller drags to have less environmental impact on the inshore bottom, and at the same time provide the opportunity, a greater opportunity, for the smaller scallops to stay on the bottom, to escape the drag, to come through the drag. So that was my primary thought, and I'm sorry, but maybe I'm not, that I wasn't looking to try to link up with federal regulations. I really think that we have an inshore fishery that's in our purview to look at, and we ought to be doing all we can to recover it. I'm really pleased to hear, and I wasn't aware, that there was a strong management interaction or interference or whatever you want to call it on the offshore fishery some time ago, and it seemed to have had a positive result. And so that's really what I'd love to be able to say in 5 years or 10 years from now, is that we did something that had a positive result. That's the gear issue. Was there another question, Representative? Other comments from the committee? Representative Eaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to echo, this won't be lengthy, but just to echo what you had just spoken about, is I agree, and that might perhaps also solve the concerns that Representative McDonough had, because, in fact, if I have an offshore license, I can fish, and I'm geared up, and I can fish a 10.5-foot drag, I'm pretty likely to do that. And if you drop that 10.5-foot drag in Maine waters, you'll be violating the law.
Yep, that's exactly it. But that there isn't any intention here, nor would it, prohibit somebody who has a federal permit for, to fish for scallops and who has the required federal gear to fish for scallops to go out there and fish for scallops.
So are we going to leave that section in there? Are we going to be taking
it? Well, the issue, the question is posed, do we leave section 4A in, of which one?
4A.
Yeah. One of them, the one that deals with the commercial daily catch limit, apparently doesn't have to be in statute. And so I have said that I would like as much of this coming from the Scallop Advisory Committee or and or the department through rule as is possible. So if that's one of them that can be done, I'm willing to have it go that way. The one that deals with the recreational catch, however, I do want that to stay in statute.
And so Senator Damon, are you suggesting that the first 4A should be put on the Section 8 list?
It is in there.
It's already in there. Okay, great. Okay. So we can just cross that out. All right.
Two 4As there. One is for just the scallop fishing license, the hand fishing, and the other one is for dragging. That's why you see two 4As.
Okay.
We'll take a 4A into the which do we take the first 4A into?
The first 4A is just the scallop fishing license.
Never mind. I'm sorry. Never mind. Yeah.
4A.
It was.
4A1.
So can we just eliminate the first 4-A?
Eliminate them both.
Can eliminate them both? Okay. All right.
So that's the one you want to take those out of there?
I think so, if they're both covered somehow. Yep. All right. Any other comments or suggestions on this? Because we've already voted on it. Do we have to vote on it again?
Yeah.
Without objection to the comments?
Technically, if you're going to make a change to the bill, you should
have to consider it. All right. Yeah, I understand. And then there is the chair's prerogative. Would you mind, members of the committee, if we reconsider our action on this? It's been moved and seconded that we reconsider our action of on LD 2071 for the purposes of addressing the changes. Okay. Any discussion on the motion? So all those in favor, so signify. Thank you very much. Those opposed, same sign. It's now properly before us. Could I have a motion to support what we've done?
I make the motion that we amend it, that we accept the blue as the amendment to this bill, the blue papers without the two 4As.
Without taking either 4A.
Without taking either 4A.
All right. Yep.
That's my...
And it's seconded. Discussion. You know what we've done? We've just taken those two things out, and the purpose is so that it'll give the flexibility, the greatest amount of flexibility possible to both the department and the Scallop Advisory Committee to come back to us with rules or new bills next in the 124th. Further discussion? Seeing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor? Thank you. Hands down. All opposed? It's unanimous of those present.